Welcome to Abundant Living and Gardening Podcast. I'm your host, Aja Yassir, and you can find me at ajayassir.com or wherever you listen to podcasts, and also at patreon.com/AjaYassir. Definitely check out Patreon because I'm doing some wonderful classes right now over there, doing some medicine classes presently. I don't know when you're listening to this, but I'm recording this in September 2023. So I'm doing some classes on medicine making right now. Please feel free to go ahead and join me over there. For just $5 a month, you get these classes on medicine making. So that's patreon.com/AjaYassir. And so it's raining right now. It's a beautiful day. I really, really love days when it rains. Everything looks so beautiful. And you know, when you're a dry farmer, you appreciate the days of rain because it's not like I go out with a water hose and I water everything. I heavily depend on raining and rain. And also I mulch a lot as well. So that mulch is holding down all of that, moisture. And yeah, but when it rains, it really, really looks good outside. So I have been monitoring my tobacco. I grow a very rare Choctaw Chickasaw tobacco that only grows in Louisiana, in St. James Parish, what is now St. James Parish, Louisiana. And it's been grown for thousands of years by the Choctaw and Chickasaw people, or the people who became Choctaw and Chickasaw people of Louisiana. And it's looking beautiful. I'm growing it in a bucket here. I grew it for the first time last year. Last year was pretty difficult because I'm used to growing Cuban tobacco. That is the tobacco that I usually grow. But I have seeds for this. I had seeds for this. And last year was my first year trying it. More difficult than Cuban tobacco. Because reality, Cuban tobacco is so easy to grow here. We have very sandy soil where we are in Indiana, and you really just put the plants in and they grow like crazy and they get really tall. But I found that the Louisiana Choctaw tobacco was difficult. And of course, it only grows in one area of Louisiana. And the reason it grows so well there is because of the sediments in the soil, that I don't have here. But I figured it out, y'all. I've been feeding this plant. And actually, these are seeds from last year, too. So it's more adapted to our area. But I've been feeding it duck poo and, you know, really getting into it and really nurturing it. And when the ducks, when I'm emptying out their water, sometimes I'll give the tobacco, the water from the ducks. So it's been working out really, really well. So, yeah. Oh, I went back. You know, I am a dry farmer, but the things that are in buckets, you know, if you grow food in buckets and things, you need moisture, you need water. So those will get more water, but I don't like give them extra water. I just give them water that I already have from the duck ponds. I just pour that water in. But as far as the plants that are in the ground, I am a dry farmer. I did talk about that on a previous episode. So go ahead and check that out. Dry farming, growing without water, growing without watering. I don't grow without water because, of course, it rains. We get about 35 inches of precipitation each year here. And again, the way I plant and the way I nurture the soil, it can hold that moisture in and I don't have to water. But that's not what I wanted to talk about today. I actually wanted to get on and talk a little bit about the earth shifting. I've been asked, like, what are you doing or what do you plan to do differently because of climate change? You know, there's this whole thing fighting against the climate, fighting against climate change, fighting against. I have no interest in fighting earth at all. At all. I'm not fighting Earth. I'm not fighting the Earth's cycles, its changes. I'm not doing that. I'm leaning into it. Let me tell you something. If I tried to fight Earth, Earth is going to win. Earth has been here for a long time. She is grandmother. I am not fighting her. She is going to win. She will kill me if I try to fight her. And I'm not fighting her. I'm leaning into what she is telling us that we need to do, or at least telling me that I need to do. So a few years ago, I switched over to growing more indigenous plants because that's what I felt that my space needed. See, when we're talking about planting for climate change or planting for the changes that are happening or the changes that are even coming, the first step is to get so in tune with your space, so in tune with yourself, so in tune with the earth that you cultivated, that when it sends you messages, you hear them. You're able to communicate with earth. You're able to communicate with the plants, you're able to communicate with the soil, the atmosphere. You have to get so in tune with it. And how do you do that? You cancel all that garbage out, all of your misconceptions, all of your desires to control, and just listen to what the earth is telling you. Walk around your space. If something is not growing, if you've planted these plants and they're not growing, step back and say, hey, maybe, just maybe, my space does not want this. Or maybe, just maybe, I need to do something differently for this to grow. Like I mentioned earlier with the tobacco, I had to do something different for that tobacco to grow. But many times we're trying to control the narrative. We're trying to, okay, I really want this wheat to grow in my area. And I'm really trying to grow this wheat in my space. But guess what? Maybe your space does not want that. Ask yourself, is wheat indigenous to this area? What would be the difficulty of bringing this plant here if it is not even adapted to this area, if it is not indigenous to this area, if it is not used to this area, this soil, this rain? What are the downfalls of doing that? And maybe you can switch over to something different. Maybe. So walk around your space. What else can be used as a grain that is not wheat? Could you possibly use the seeds from the lamb quarter? Could you possibly use the seeds from, although it's it grows wild here, does not grow wild in other every place. And I believe it was a plant that was brought in. But can you use the seeds from yellow dock? Can you use the seeds from the amaranth that is just growing wild in your area? Can you just use those? Can you figure out ways to dry those seeds and to produce your own flower instead of trying to bring in a plant that may not even want to be there and your space may not even want it to be there? I hope I'm making sense. I really hope I'm making sense. So you really have to get in tune with yourself and really have to get in tune with knowing that the earth, you are earth. You are connected to earth. You are nature. I think we forget that as well. We take ourselves out of nature and we have this myth of being dominant over nature. And we have stories that back up those myths, that you have some kind of dominance over nature. But once you realize that you are nature, earth is your home, and you realize that you have to become one with nature. You already are one with nature, but you have to realize you are one with nature. And you have to listen and observe and watch what is going on around you. So an example that I had here, I love roses. Roses are so beautiful. The cultivars of roses are absolutely beautiful. But I noticed that we were having less leaf cutter bees here. And I noticed that because I can walk around my space and I see these beautiful, delicate holes and circles and ovals cut into my rose petals and my rose leaves. And that's usually a sign that the leaf cutter bee has been there. It's not a sign that you have some kind of fungus or disease on your roses. A lot of times people see those holes or those little ovals cut out and they're like, oh, I need to spray this. Guess what? You're killing the leaf cutter bees. Leaf cutter bees are going and they're cutting circles and ovals into your leaves, into your petals, and they're building their homes. They're building their nests underground. But I noticed that one season I was going out there and observing my roses, and I didn't see as many cuts and circles in my leaves, my rose petals, my rose leaves and my rose petals. And I said, okay, what is going on here? I definitely want my leaf cutter bees to feel at home here. What should I do? And I had this thought, plant some native roses, plant some native rose bushes here. So I got the Illinois rose, I got the prairie rose, I got something else, I don't remember. And I planted those, okay? I planted them. And I even took cuttings of my Illinois rose and I spread it around to other areas. And guess what? Then I started seeing holes being cut out of those leaves. And then eventually I started seeing holes cut out of the rose cultivars that I had. So they felt home again. They felt comfortable again. You know? So really, really get in tune. Really figure out what your space is calling for. If you are in an area that's experiencing more drought, where you're not getting as much rain as you're used to, maybe, just maybe, that is a call for you to build your soil so it can hold the moisture that you do get, and to also possibly switch the crops that you're attempting to grow. Why not grow plants that are more adapted to dry areas, to your area? Why not grow those instead of trying to push it and say, I have to grow this thing that I have been growing for many years because I want it to grow? No, step out of that box and listen to Earth. If she's telling you, no, I don't want those things here anymore. I want what I want, and give Earth what she wants. Plant those drought tolerant plants. If you're in an area that is possibly receiving more rain than you are used to, you can still build that soil up. Still build that soil up. Maybe you want to work on the compaction of your soil to make sure water isn't just sitting on top of your soil. You may want to add sand to your soil. I'm not sure. I'm not giving pointers. I'm just listening. I'm just saying, listen and see what is going on. But also, you can switch those crops up. Maybe, just maybe, you need to plant some plants that are going to soak in that moisture. Maybe Earth is saying, hey, I want some trees here. I want some trees. I want something that's going to soak in all of this moisture. Maybe your Earth is telling you, hey, I want to not plant in rows. I want you to plant a bunch of plants together, you know, so we can soak up all this moisture. Maybe you have to switch crops. Maybe you need more water tolerant plants that enjoy wet feet. maybe you can't grow that orange tree in that area anymore because you're getting so much rain and citrus doesn't tend to like wet feet. So what does like wet feet? Well, many times pawpaws like wet feet. There are different plants that like and trees that prefer wet feet. So I'm just saying all of that to say, just really get in tune with what the earth is asking you to do and just do it. Sometimes we have to stop questioning and stop hoping for the past. And, oh man, I really want that specific type of tomato that I used to grow. Well, maybe it's not time for you to grow that tomato anymore. Maybe it's time for you to switch it up and just listen and just watch. So that's what I wanted to say, y'all. Thank you so much for joining me on Abundant Living and Gardening Podcast. I will talk to you soon. Again, check me out at ajiasierra.com. You can also check me out at patreon.com/ajiasierra, where I'm going to be talking about lots of medicinal things over there and all types of stuff. So thank you, and I'll talk to you soon.